Good afternoon. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Strategies for Interoperable Health IT Architecture session. I'd like to thank you very much for being here and remind everybody to turn off your cell phones if you haven't done that already. My name is Margo Edmonds, and I have been part of the Finn community since about 2003 when it was NEDS. How many people are at a Finn meeting for the first time? A few people. Welcome. This really is a community. I used to teach when I was on the faculty at Johns Hopkins. I taught health IT and informatics from a policy perspective as an initiative before we had the Office of the National Coordinator or high tech or anything. So this has been really a process. I think the Finn meetings have been a wonderful opportunity for people to really network and exchange information. And the communities of practice are a very important part of the work. I know that they were formally launched at Finn last year, but many of these groups have been working with each other maybe then more years than we'd like to count. So I am currently at Booz Allen in terms of disclosure. I wrote a white paper on interoperability that was put out in early January, and we talked to people at ONC and some of the other people who are in the room. So my role here is to introduce Paul Aneja, who is the Enterprise Information Architect for the State of Oregon Department of Human Services. Paul is also the co-leader of the Finn Enterprise Architecture Community of Practice, and he's the representative to the Finn Community of Practice Council. So I bet Paul spends a lot of time doing conference calls and online. The format for the session today is that Paul is going to give a presentation, which I think for those of you who may be new to this area will give you the full flavor of what's been happening, not only with this community of practice, but in the field more largely. And then we'll have a little bit of a Q&A, about 5 minutes, and then we're going to break into small work groups, which we'll talk about a little bit more at that time. So I'd also like to remind you, if anybody's getting continuing education credits, remember to do those online at the conference website. And at this point, I'd like to turn over to Paul.
Thanks, Margo. So welcome. I know this is probably one of the last sessions here at the conference, so thanks for staying late and coming to this session. So I'm going to talk a little bit about specifically about the interoperability, because as you may have already been hearing in the various other, some of the other sessions, the notion of interoperability is very, very key as we move forward with the health IT. Specifically, because it's not only a desired capability, but it's something that we actually are required to do as part of the High Tech Act that was recently passed. So the format, we already talked about, there'll be a short presentation, and then we'll break into three groups, which we'll talk about, and then those groups will report back their key findings. So what is health IT interoperability? I know there's been a lot of discussion around the health IT interoperability so far. So here's one version of a little cartoon that I discovered as I was doing the research around the interoperability, which talks about that we're stuck on the interoperable definition of interoperability. Now, it's not quite that bad. We do have some starting definitions around interoperability, right? So the first one talks about, generally speaking, interoperability refers to the ability of two systems to communicate, to exchange data accurately and effectively and consistently, and to use that information that was exchanged. So the focus here is not only the ability to exchange the information, but actually use the information. And then, and specifically around the healthcare, it's the ability to use that information that has been exchanged means not only that the healthcare systems are able to communicate, but they may use some of the shared terminologies, definitions, standards, et cetera, et cetera. So that begs the question, so how interoperable are the current systems in health IT? Do all the health systems store the same information, for example, the demographics, the same way? So this is a question for the audience. Is that the case today?
No.
What about the patients that, a lot of cases patients move between the providers and the doctors, right? Because it's the needs may change, a patient moves in different locations. So are they able to carry with them their health, records and information as they go to the next provider today? Anybody?
I can.
You can? Okay, so that's one person in the room.
It's not common.
Not too common today.
And you have
to
hear it.
Unless you want to use Google.
How do the health IT systems, how do they actually exchange this data today? What approaches, what strategies, what standards are used? Are they all the same? Or are they very different when you look across these systems? Probably fairly different, right? What about, especially around the interoperability between the clinical and the public health? Here, of course, we have been focused on the public health, but things are changing, right? What used to be only a public health issue is no longer the case because we need to integrate with the health IT, EMRs, HIEs. So the world is changing very, very quickly, but that also kind of increases the level of interoperability that we need to create, and how we do that is very, very going to be very key. And obviously, as we talk about the issues around the security and privacy of the protected information, that becomes even a more critical issue as the information becomes more and more in the electronic format. How you actually protect that information and secure it so it only gets accessed by the right people in the right context. So why is health IT interoperability important, right? So obviously it allows us to make the improved health decisions based on all of the data. So not just specific data to that may exist in one system or one domain, but how about if we can interoperate across these domains, which will allow us to look at all of the data when we are making these health decisions. And obviously, improving the exchange of health information between the IT systems is key, which we're only able to do in a very, very limited fashion today. And accessing the information from different systems, from different platforms, today, if you look at it, when we do create the interoperability, it is based on our ability to interconnect, and those interconnections are very, very fragile because those have to be manually constructed, and it's still very much point-to-point integrations, right? So how do we improve that and get to the next level of interoperability? Obviously, if we are able to interoperate, it will reduce the cost and the complexity of these systems, and will make our systems much more future-proof as new requirements come to us, as new systems that we need to integrate in the form of either an exchange or other systems, which we'll be able to do a little bit more easier. And obviously, some of these other things are there too. So what about if we look at the example of an interoperability, right? So how about if we look at a simple example of a phone, right? Are the phones interoperable? Can I buy a phone from pretty much anywhere and plug it in and it'll work? Just using that example, right? It doesn't have to be from the same manufacturer for the two phones to connect. Or based on the same material, or the design even doesn't have to be the same, right? And you can extend that model So the answer is, it's not any of these things, right, that makes the phone interoperable. But what makes the phone interoperable?
Standards.
So in particular, it's that standardization of that phone jack, for one, and the modulation, and the communication standards.
On the business level, the use case for voice telephony is much simpler than the use case for medical data. So it's relatively straightforward to think about why I would use a telephone, what it is I want it to do. Therefore, making it interoperable is relatively simple.
It's relatively simple. Now, but even back then, were things relatively simple, or you had to buy the phones from your phone provider or service provider in that case? Or I think that's how things started out, right? Where the phones were provided by those service providers that provided the service, and unless you had that phone, you couldn't really talk using their service. So, which is kind of similar to where we are. Obviously, you can extend this example to the cell phones or PDAs or more devices that are emerging in the marketplace, which is really showing the integration of these tools and technologies into the same platform, PDA or iPhone or whatever it may be, but. At the bottom of it, it is the fact that the reason that makes these devices work is a collection of standards. It's a collection of agreed upon processes for how these devices need to function. Without that, there's no hope of any of these devices to be able to operate in a network. So, but having said that, we do have a number of challenges around health IT interoperability, right? So HIT, as we have heard and as we are engaged in the process, it's a very, very fast-moving train with brand new concepts of a health information exchange, which didn't even exist, new architectures, new needs. So how do we incorporate all of these into our existing systems and integrated architectures is a key challenge. The nature of enterprise itself is changing. Like I mentioned earlier, what used to be a very specific public health system is no longer the case because these systems need to interoperate and talk to each other. If that's not going to be the case, then we're going to continue to operate as we had before, and that's not where we really need to go in the future. But interoperability is also complex, right? How do you actually make the two there was a point made earlier that the phones were very, very simple device, right? How do you make this very complex systems and make them interoperable is a very complex task because, these systems are complex to start with and they have to perform and do many, many things, not just, one or two things. So how do you do that is actually an area of a challenge. So we also need to understand what is the level of interoperability that we're trying to achieve. And I don't believe it's at every level or everything. So I think we need to further define what is the level of interoperability that we can achieve that's feasible and how we get there. Obviously, current systems, as we talked earlier, are siloed. Because of the nature of those systems, because they originate either in different programs or are designed to perform a specific set of functions within those groups, and also looking at the common data elements, I know there have been a number of sessions around those already. We just came out of a session around SOA, so maybe some of you were all in those sessions as well. So I'm going to kind of speed through some of these other challenges. just to highlight a couple of others are, the governance, how you actually govern those systems from either a common architecture perspective or what those standards need to be. If we don't have a common governance process, we're not going to be able to achieve a lot of interoperability. So what are some of the strategies for improving the health IT architecture and interoperability? So here are some guiding principles. So first of all, we need to adopt the national health IT architectures. I know many of you have heard about the NHIN, and that's a key area of the national health IT architecture. So we need to plug into that to figure out how to extend that architecture and make our systems interoperate with that. Anna Arlova talked extensively about the health IT standards. So how we actually leverage the emerging standards and use those in the system that we are building today. So that's not something that we can do after the system is designed to say, well, okay, now there's a bunch of new standards that we also need to use. So if these things are not built into the early phase of the design and the work that's going on, you know, it becomes a very hard challenge to retrofit after the fact once the system is there. Reusable shared services is very, very key. So based on the SOA service architecture and using those principles to actually guide the design and architecture of those systems. And actually designing the systems with interoperability as a key requirement is also key. Because many times, you know, it's an afterthought that once the systems are there, then we try to figure out how to make them interoperable. It's too late. Because you can't easily re-architect them after the fact, or make them to use the standards, or make them, you know, to use based on shared services architecture. So all of these things are important, but these are, you know, there's a time and a place to do it well or do it right. And then creating an architecture that's technology neutral to the extent possible. Obviously, all the systems will have to use technology, but how you actually make them technology agnostic and neutral is also key. And governance, we talked about, and the role of an enterprise architect, which looks across these key challenging areas, is also fundamental. So there's also a number of different levels of interoperability, right? If you look at it, may be able to make the systems interoperable across the same health organization. You know, that may be the sort of the more easier task. Then we could extend that model to a regional HIE, where the region may consist of either several cities, or depending on on the region, it may also cross some of the boundaries of the state to the neighboring states. And then the statewide level, and then the national level, and obviously extending that further into the international. So where we are today, obviously, is somewhere between one and two, I would think. Would you guys agree with that? Yes. Yeah.
That just reminds me of the WHO pandemic chart.
That's a good point. So as we think about, you know, how we need to make things interoperable, first of all, if we think broader than our own system that we are focused on, think of the larger context. You know, what's the next level up? That's a place to start. And then look across, you know, the other things that are going on, how we make things interoperable with those other efforts, and then leveraging those larger standards and architectures, I think is a way we can actually make progress on these areas. What about the public health specific IT systems, right? Here's some examples of those, right? And immunization, the surveillance systems, vital records, labs, you know, registries of different types, environmental health, et cetera. Now, today's model, as we said, you know, these systems are separate systems. There's not a whole lot of common across these systems, right? But if you really look at these systems closely enough, you'll find that there are actually some common functions. So how do we actually move the metaphor of our current approach for developing these very, very separate systems into a network of systems that talk to each other and are interoperable is a challenge. Many of you have seen I'm just referencing this use cases that are developed at the national level. This is a little bit dated slide, but I want to just use this to reference some of the key points. And the ones that I've circled are some of the ones that I think are relevant to the public health for sure. You know, the immunization, the biosurveillance, in the newborn screening, and also some of the other ones like the common data transport, right? If you want to make these systems interoperable, we need to leverage these other use cases also, and not just the public health specific ones. So even though these use cases may not be, we may not think at first are relevant to us, many of these things are going to be very, very relevant. So we need to pay attention to what's going on at the national level. So let me turn the question around. Are there folks here, some of you may be involved with either the users or being involved with the development of the immunization system? So are you guys using those national use cases? No, you are. Okay, so some are, some not. So here's another example of, the use cases are a place to start, right? I know Anna talked about that too. So it's a place to start, not that they will do everything, right? But it's a place to start where a lot of work has gone into defining how an immunization system needs to function, what are the common business processes, what are the common, data elements, et cetera. So if we can at least start there, there's a way for us to achieve more interoperability if we are all starting from the same common place. Yes.
Do you know whether HIT is looking at the effort from an architectural perspective, a national level or global level governance of architecture concurrent with the planning efforts for use cases as well? I mean, it's such a large thing to take on that it really should start at the same time concurrently probably. So do you know whether something like this is taking
I don't know if I can answer that fully, but my sense is that, yes, some of those considerations are in play. I think we'll have to wait and see what the, what the right models look like. I don't know. Does anybody know for sure? John? Were you going to add something, John?
I was just going to say that the Time Obama administration has a chief technology officer now, which is a new position.
So Anish Chopra, yeah, right. Go ahead. So here's a picture of the NHN architecture, which I'm sure many of you have seen many, many times. So the key points here are, if we can start to think about how we're going to plug into this national architecture, right? Are there touch points here that as we build our HIEs in the states and you know, off of those HIEs, the immunization system, and, you know, on and on, as well as the clinical systems. So there's an opportunity perhaps for the very first time where, you know, through the HIT efforts at the national level, through these common architectures, that we can perhaps enable more of an interoperable set of systems, and through the use of standards, right? So what are the standards, right? I know there's been a lot of discussion already on standards, so I can probably skip through or go through this faster. But the reason the standards are important for this common architecture or an enterprise architecture is, first of all, we want to create an architecture that's going to be reusable, right? Secondly, we want to look at the future adaptability of the architecture. So as things change, you know, if we are using the standards, that gives us a little bit more future proofing. And then improving the integration across these systems. And the only reason, I mean, the only way we can do that is through a set of common standards. But then the question becomes, so what are the right standards? So as you've heard and know, there are many, many standards organizations. The HIT Standards Committee is the highest level HIT standards organization. There's HITSB, which has been working on for a number of years on creating a health IT standards. HIE, which was represented here at the FIN conference in the interoperability showcase, has been developing a set of profiles which are really based on some of these common standards that other organizations develop, HL7 and PHDC. So here's one picture from the HIE, which shows some of the key profiles that are either already available or soon to be available. So as you can see, there's number of profiles in specific areas. So on the clinical and PHR side, looking at the lab results, for example, or the medical summaries is an example of a profile there. The health exchange, has a cross-enterprise document sharing profile, which really enables the sharing of those profiles across these systems using the documents, and that's based on XDR. The patient demographics queries. How many of these systems are today performing the demographic query, right? So probably a lot of them, right? So here's an opportunity to look at these profiles and see how we can leverage these profiles and standards to actually build our systems. So then I was starting to pull together a set of standards in the different category areas, starting with the data exchange standards, the vocabulary standards, and the interoperability specifications and profiles, which is a combination of things that HITSB as well as IHE have done, and some of the more communication, technology-oriented standards that would facilitate communications with, for example, for the SOA, and those obviously, there's a long list of standards in each one of these areas. So again, this is not a complete picture, but a starting picture that shows what are the relevant standards that we need to be aware of and start to use. And there's also a roadmap element around the standards. So for example, around the clinical area, the ICD-9 and 10 are more available today, SNOMED is available also, but over the, if you look at the high-tech recommendations that have been adopted, SNOMED is going to be coming into play in later in 2015 versus ICD-9 and ICD-10. So if we start with ICD-9 and 10, and then move more our planning horizon for SNOMED down the road, so I think that's the picture that we need to create. So I'm probably going to skip over because there was a full session devoted to shared services. But the reason the shared services are important for this interoperable health IT architecture is, first of all, we need to connect across these systems in a much more meaningful way to focus on those common reusable services. And the way we can do that is by applying a consistent set of SOA principles. So how many systems need authentication, right? Probably most of them, right? So how do we solve that problem today? So let me ask the question differently. How many organizations have a common directory service today that you're aware of based on, you know, a standard like LDAP that has been around for, I don't know, 15 plus years? Common directory service, right? So when you talk about standards, you know, the reason this becomes a bigger challenge is even standards that have been around for so long takes forever to get adopted. And actually, getting to the common and interoperable state is a much, much bigger challenge, right? So, yes. Right.
So it becomes more of your connection with the other entities and making sure that that's kept up to date and that they're validated somehow. And how do you do that component? Because that happens, a lot of that happens outside the technology.
Absolutely. So I didn't say that it was a technical, you know, aspect only, right? I was just using that as an example to show that standards that have been around even for the long time, you know, haven't quite been fully adopted yet, or the realization of an interoperable directory services doesn't exist quite yet. And there's many, many challenges for that, but I was just highlighting that as an example. So if you go back to, you know, this picture, this is a very scary picture, because, you know, it shows that For security services, you know, actually I haven't gotten to that yet, but here's for security services, right? LDAP is just one of those standards that we have to use. There's, you know, 20 other standards that we have to enable and use. So how will we get there, right? Where it has taken us, you know, 15 plus years just for LDAP, which is a very straightforward standard. It's not complicated. You know, we said it's not technology. I mean, that's holding us back. The technology exists. The solutions exist. The standards exist. But we're not quite there yet. So let me go back to this. Okay. All right. Let me go back. I'm sorry. So the shared services, in the earlier session, there was a lot of discussion on the shared services. So here's some example shared services that I've been thinking about. So for example, enrollment, eligibility checking, you know, the updating of the personal health record, getting the immunization records, patient matching, allergy check, secure messaging, getting the health records, et cetera, et cetera. So again, these are just some examples of some of the shared services that you know, that if we are able to build, then we will not have to, you know, rebuild them or for different systems. We only build them once and reuse them as they're needed in other places. So privacy and security, there's a number of standards that have come to play here for access control, authentication, identity management, et cetera. So, and then pulling all this information together, here's a start of a health IT architecture interoperability framework, which shows, you know, starting with the use cases, the relevant use cases, and then connecting the dots to those national architecture, which is NHN, and then a set of reusable services and data exchange standards, et cetera, all of those standards, and then a set of HIT-oriented infrastructure that would actually enable all of these things to come into play. Things like the HIE exchange, the adapters, the enterprise service bus, and also a set of registries and repositories which will be able to exchange some of the health documents and data. One quick note, there's a most of these other sessions have already happened, but at 5:30 there's a NAFIT session, and that's in Hanover CD, I believe. So if you're interested, that's going to go into some of the relevant things here. So let me stop here.